WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host for the day, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin, who's in Arizona. But don't worry, he'll be calling in around the half-hour mark. I want to start off the show by giving a shout-out to the world champions in the NFL. That's right, the Atlanta Falcons, their first ever Super Bowl. What an amazing game. They blew the Patriots out from the gates forward. They just ran away with that one. I was able to shut it off at halftime, and I know it just got worse from there. No, I'm just kidding. Pause that right there. No, the Patriots with the biggest Super Bowl comeback of all time, trouncing the previous 10-point record. The Patriots came back from 25 on 20 separate occasions. The win percentage was below one for New England. And you know what? Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, the same old criminals, the same suspects, they came back and won that one. We'll have plenty of talk throughout the hour about the Super Bowl. One of the most miraculous comebacks you could ever imagine. We'll dig into all the plays that made the Patriots so formidable in that final quarter. Not even the third quarter, the final quarter. James White, Tom Brady, again, all the usual suspects for New England, but maybe a few new ones as well. And then Atlanta, unbelievable first half, total collapse. We'll cover all of it. It's a Super Bowl show. Super Bowl Sunday was yesterday. We're not breaking away from that whatsoever. We'll also talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame, Michigan State basketball. Like I said, Al Martin will be on right around the 30-minute mark of today's show, and we'll talk the Super Bowl with him as well. But first, I want to take it to today's current sports quick hit headliners. First of all, Super Bowl 51, boy, did it live up to its hype last night or what? Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots erased a 25-point deficit in the second half alone to beat the Atlanta Falcons 34-28 in overtime. The Patriots trailed 28-3 midway through the third quarter before scoring 31 unanswered, including two touchdowns, followed by two 2-point conversions in the game's closing minutes. Tom Brady was named Super Bowl MVP once again, the fourth time for him. He set a new Super Bowl record for most passing yards, also most attempts, most completions, most MVP awards, and career wins in the Super Bowl. Congratulations to Mr. Brady. In total, 24 Super Bowl records were set yesterday. Patriots running back James White certainly could have been named MVP as well, though. He set a Super Bowl record with 14 receptions to go along with 110 receiving yards, three total touchdowns, and a pivotal, ever so important, 2-point conversion. Lo and behold, though, it looks like there's another Tom Brady controversy coming off last night's incredible comeback win. It appears that moments after completing the historic comeback for his fifth Super Bowl title, somebody had the audacity to steal Brady's jersey. You kidding me? Yeah, the jersey disappeared from Brady's locker in the post-game chaos, and he employed the help of locker room staff and equipment managers to hunt for what might be considered a holy, sacrosanct artifact in some circles. Brady could not find the jersey before leaving NRG Stadium where the game was held and joked that the jersey might soon appear on eBay. I actually saw a tweet. I think it might actually be there. The Pro Football Hall of Fame, also a busy weekend for them, not to be lost in all the intensity of Super Bowl action. They inducted seven new members into the 2017 class. Running backs LaDainian Tomlinson, LT, Terrell Davis led the pack of inductees, along with, hey, a favorite of the show's because of our great caller, Ray, Kurt Warner, head quarterback of the greatest show on turf. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones is another notable inductee, followed by defensive end Jason Taylor, safety Kenny Easley, and former Michigan State kicker and New Orleans Saints kicker Morn Anderson. Anderson is only the second player to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame and the third MSU kicker. In local sporting news, the Detroit Pistons will host the Philadelphia 76ers tonight at 7:30. Detroit enters the game tied for the last playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, despite four losses in their last six games and a 23-28 record combined. The 76ers will be without their star rookie center and all-star snub, Joel Embiid. They look to improve on their 18-32 record. In the Pistons and 76ers only meeting prior this season, the Sixers trounced the Pistons 79-97 at the Palace in December. Ugh. Michigan men's basketball, however, yeah, not such a great weekend for them with the Super Bowl champions, of course, giving a little bit back to Ann Arbor. Senior Derek Walton Jr. scored a season-high 25 points and made a double-double with 10 rebounds on the night, but was not enough in a 70-66 loss at bitter rivals Ohio State Saturday evening inside the Chrysler Center. Walton was 8-for-16 from the field on the night and an impressive 6-for-9 from three-point range. The 10 rebounds are one off a season high and two off a career high for the senior. Junior Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman had 12 points and 7 rebounds on the night, while junior DJ Wilson had 11 points. Michigan will face in-state rival MSU for the second time in 9 days on Tuesday. Tip-off is scheduled for 9 p.m. inside the Chrysler Center. Once again, the game will be televised on ESPN. Michigan freshman tight end Devin Asiasi is pursuing a transfer. 247 Wolverine reported over the weekend. Though he only had two catches, including a touchdown, he played in all 13 games this last season and showed versatility enough to block, but also still run effective routes and contribute to the passing game. The report stated he was looking to return home to the West Coast. Brady Hoke is off to Tennessee. That's right. According to Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports, the former Michigan head coach is expected to become Tennessee's defensive line coach. SEC Country reported over the weekend that the Volunteers were in discussions to hire, quote, Hoke. Hoke, who was Michigan's head coach in 2011 to 2014, made his name as U of M defensive line coach, actually, under Lloyd Carr from 1995 to 2001, producing the fearsome 1997 national champion defensive line and putting out at least six defensive linemen into the NFL. If and when it's official, Hoke's addition will be the very latest for Vols coach Butch Jones, who's making good on his promises to shake things up in his coaching staff after perhaps the most disappointing 8-4 regular season effort in recent memory. Finally, the Michigan State hockey team. Boy, just can't do a thing right, can they? They were swept over the weekend at home by the Wisconsin Badgers, losing 6-3 on Friday and 4-3 on Saturday in overtime. The Spartans are now 5-17-2 overall, 1-8-1 in the Big Ten Conference. And yeah, those chatter talks about Tom Anastas' job keep on growing. They now will take on rival Michigan this Friday at Joe Louis Arena in the D. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners for the day. Coming up, a lot of Super Bowl discussion. And you know what? You can weigh in. Call in at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Or hey, even tweet me at Isaac Constance, ISaacConstans. Hey, you know what? There's a lot to get to, though. A lot of Super Bowl talk coming up. Let's start the show.
White is set behind Brady. We move under center. Trips to the right. Bennett to tight end left. Second and goal to go from the two. Toss sweep right for James White. Tucks it under the right arm. Cuts it upfield. Driving forward. Diving to the goal line. A touchdown. And a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Led by the greatest quarterback.
Look at Brady.
In Super Bowl and NFL annals.
One more ring.
Trophy is coming back to New England.
I love this team.
Confetti, the streamers falling from the roof of NRG Stadium.
I don't care. They got balls. And when you have balls on the biggest stage, you win championship football games.
Three receivers to the right, and White is the running back. 11:08 to go in the first overtime. They'll toss it to White. Left's our right side. White will cut back, and he will get in. Touchdown, New England. The Patriots storm the field.
Welcome to this February 6th edition of WKR's Current Sports, right after a classic, an instantly legendary Super Bowl game between the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons, 34-28, the final score. There you just heard the two quite contrasting radio calls of Atlanta and New England coverage. Well, I'll tell you, you can always tell a trained journalist, somebody who tries to maintain the objectivity, from the former player who really loves his team. I love this team. In the voice crack. I've got to love that radio call by the New England Patriots radio network. But at the same time, we're not there to talk about how the game was covered. We are there to talk about maybe the most amazing Super Bowl in NFL history. That's certainly a discussion to be had. We're going to talk about the legacy of this game, the legacy that it creates for Tom Brady at the most suitable time, Hall of Fame induction weekend, and Tom Brady, maybe the greatest quarterback ever, in my opinion, cemented it last night. I don't think there's really a counter argument that a logical person who doesn't live in San Francisco can make right now. Tom Brady went off yesterday. It's that simple. Won the Super Bowl MVP, and you know what? He deserved it. The guy was amazing all of last game. 24 Super Bowl records were set yesterday, including most passing yards, Tom Brady, most attempts, Tom Brady, most completions, most MVP awards, and most career wins in the Super Bowl. That's five now for him, enough to cover a full five fingers on a hand. Tom Brady, once again, showing just how good he is. But I want to go through the course of this game, because last night, I joked at the start of the show about turning the game off at halftime because, you know, it was such a raggedy blowout on behalf of the Atlanta Falcons. They were delivering it to the Patriots. I jotted down some notes over the course of the day, and boy, first ever pick six against Tom Brady in the postseason. Yeah, that was last night, people. That was Alford on the pick six, returning it all the way. The Patriots entirely stagnated in that first half. The only points coming at a last-second field goal by Steven Gostkowski. But hey, give the Falcons credit. That line, boy, Upshaw, Hajiman, Bryce Alford, setting a Super Bowl record for sacks in a game. Vic Beasley, Jonathan Babineau, who can forget Dwight Freeney. And then Jared had the record. But the Falcons outscored opponents 45-3 in the first half of their last two playoff games. And this one looked like it was going to run away. But, you know, you just had a feeling. Let's not count New England out. They've been there too many times. They're too accustomed to other teams making mistakes. Not veteran mistakes, rookie mistakes. And unfortunately, the Falcons, whether it's head coach Dan Quinn, who coached an incredible game, who I commend for his audacity throughout the season, for his bravery, for being so intrepid and keeping throwing the ball downfield, not sinking in, not getting caught up in this trap of just running. He didn't advise his guys well enough in time management down the stretch. This is a team that had a 25-point lead coming out and into the third quarter. They forced the Patriots, and this is when I thought the game was over, into a field goal. The Patriots got deeply entrenched into Atlanta Falcons territory, only to be held back. Brady was sacked. They've got a long third down, start of the fourth quarter, and Lo and behold, you got to kick a field goal. It's still a three-possession game, 10 minutes remaining. The Falcons offense, had that been anybody else, you think maybe they'd run it, but the Falcons passed it, and they could not be stopped in that category. Matt Ryan on the day, 17 of 23. In the first half, he was something like 14 of 16, good for an 88% completion percentage, and he had 200 yards. Second half slowed down a little bit. They also just didn't throw it that much. 17 of 23 on the day for Ryan. 284 yards, two touchdowns, quarterback rating of 79. Nothing to complain about with that quarterback in his first MVP performance, first performance as NFL MVP. He also was, of course, showing out for the first time on the biggest stage in professional football, the Super Bowl. Then the Atlanta running backs also on the day. Terrific. Devontae Freeman, 11 carries, 75 yards. That's good for an average of 6.8. Tevin Coleman, we all saw the gruesome injury. We are hoping he's okay. But 7 carries, 29 yards, a solid game for him too. And the guys out of the backfield. Coleman had a little screen play, a little dump off for 6 yards. But hey, he might have gone further if the touchdown line wasn't right there awaiting him. Devontae Freeman, 2 receptions, 46 yards. And he just trampled the Patriots defense late in that fourth quarter on the drive that should have put it away. He carried it all the way from Atlanta's own 12-yard line to the Patriots, or rather to their 45 or something like that. And Devontae Freeman outstanding throughout that game. How about Julio Jones? 4 targets, 4 receptions, 87 yards, and 2 of the better Super Bowl catches I've ever seen. One when he went full Michael Jackson in his prime with the, not electric slide, I don't know what you'd call that move, but he was right at a 45-degree angle, levitating above the ground, got both toes in, tiptoed the sideline, and went out unbelievable, all while being forced out by a Patriots defender, but incredible composure on that play. Another, he karate chopped with his right leg the ground to get 2 feet in, and Julio Jones throughout that day proved that he's among the ranks, if not the best receiver in the NFL. But, you know, this is a lot of credit I'm giving to a team that's the runner-ups. And I think there's due reason for that. I think Atlanta possibly had one of the better Super Bowl performances for the losing side ever recorded. Really, that first half was outstanding. You heard my stats about it. I was absolutely crazy about how they played. The defensive line against the Patriots offensive line that's been so consistent and so reliable throughout Brady's tenure. They gave up 5 sacks, and Brady threw a pick 6. First ever in the postseason for him. 3 holdings were on one drive against the Falcons before that Alford pick 6. That's what caused the Patriots to throw that. The Falcons defensive line gave New England fits throughout that game. And, you know, it just looked like it was going to be a runaway. It's hard for me to fault anybody, whether it was Robert Alford, pick 6, 11 tackles, 9 solo, whether it's Grady Jarrett, 4 solo tackles, 3 sacks, as you heard me say, Super Bowl record. Boy, everybody on Atlanta showed up to play. And then it came to the final 10 minutes of that game. And Tom Brady, GOAT. You know, we're talking about the MVP versus the GOAT. And as good as Mr. Matt Ryan played, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, 43 completions in the Super Bowl, 62 attempts. Bill Belichick did not try to put up any disguise of what his team's strength was in that game. It was passing. And although Brady had that fateful pick 6, wasn't enough to prevent him from getting 2 touchdowns on the day in the most vital of time. Also, the 2-point conversions. Let's not forget when Steven Gostkowski kicked that field goal to make the game 28-9. Of course, he also had missed the extra point when he missed that extra point. The Patriots still had so long to go. They had 4 drives that would be required to overcome this Atlanta team, pretty much. And the Patriots, they stood up to the challenge. It was incredible. When they had to settle for the field goal and made it a 16-point game, they needed two touchdowns and two two-point conversions in the span of, what, 8 minutes? Yeah, I mean, it might have even been less than that. 5 minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes for the Patriots is what they had, and they did it. Matt Ryan also sacked. You've got to give credit to the New England defensive line. They pushed. They weren't great throughout. At the start, they needed to bring six or seven guys to get any sort of pressure on Matt Ryan. But by the end of that game, they were plugging away. New England had all the pressure. They had a play where Devontae Freeman, you know, I hated this formation on behalf of Dan Quinn, where the running back stands one step in front of the quarterback, in front of Matt Ryan, because then the run game is automatically out of the picture. But the running back's at a disadvantage when he's trying to block as well. It was a very bizarre formation, and it didn't pay off because Devontae Freeman was entirely blindsided. He couldn't see anything coming. Around the edge comes New England. The ball hits the turf, and suddenly, New England's got a chance again. New England has a chance. And that courtesy of the New England defensive line, that was absolutely fantastic throughout the game. Trey Flowers, 2.5 sacks in that game. Also, Alan Branch, half a sack for him. And New England, they came up when it mattered the most. And they had so much to do still. Guy I want to give a special shout-out to is James White. James White. Unbelievable. You know how much that dude's getting paid? University of Wisconsin-Madison product. James White is getting paid a grand sum of $600,000 a year. $600,000. He had about 300 rushing yards on the season, 500 receiving yards. A lot like an old New England running back by the name of Danny Woodhead. They love that spark plug coming off the bench. And, you know, rightfully so, Tom Brady, when the pressure was on, when they had nobody to go to, James White was there. A Super Bowl record, 14 receptions, some of the most important of the game, the two-point conversion, who can forget that? And Brady just managed to withstand all of the worst heat coming from Atlanta. He hung in there. He made up his mind. He knew where to throw it. And at the end of the day, 25-point comeback. There's not much you can say except New England weathered the storm. They lasted the worst of it. And credit to Bill Belichick. Credit to Tom Brady. 5 rings. Credit to Robert Kraft. Credit to that entire New England team because, boy, they made something out of nothing. They forced the young Atlanta players into situations where they were not only inexperienced, but where they were out of their depth. It was sink or swim. They sunk. I'm sorry. Jake Matthews, the rookie offensive lineman, 2 holdings on the day. One that put them out of field goal range when Atlanta just needed to run the ball. Dan Quinn, like I said, I commend you, sir, for passing the ball and not getting caught up in this trap where you could gain 2 yards a time and cause New England to burn its timeouts because they couldn't stop you. So pass the ball. I like that. But if you pass the ball, pass it short. Don't always go long. You got to vary it up, and you still have to run it. You're still trying to kill the clock. That's your enemy. That is the one thing that can stop you in this game is if the clock keeps going. It's nothing that necessarily would make it go easier for you if there's more time on the clock. You're not saving it up for a final drive. And then, boy, also, you've got Edelman. I mean, where does that catch rank all time? The one thing seemingly forgotten in the midst of James White, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Julian Edelman. I want you guys to call in and weigh in, 517-355-9527, because this is a Super Bowl for all time. Super Bowl 51 certainly bodes well for the next 49, but Julian Edelman with a catch that, in my opinion, it supersedes David Tyree's. You remember when Eli Manning escaped 3 separate oncoming would-be tacklers, ran out of the pocket, galloped, wound up for about a 45-yard throw that went into the hands and the helmet of David Tyree, who managed to hold off Rodney Harrison, one of the hardest hitters in the game in New England Patriots safety. Well, New England's been having nightmares about that since. Julian Edelman gave him a different catch to remember. The ball was released by Tom Brady into three-man coverage. Edelman, the only Patriot in the vicinity. The ball pops up. It's tipped up high. Bounces off the foot of a Falcons defender. Edelman gets fingertips, just fingertips on it. Tips it up to himself. And when the ball is just grazing the top of each blade of grass, Edelman snags it off the ground for what keeps the drive alive, what advances the Patriots downfield, what most importantly prevents an interception that surely would have ended the game even with Atlanta Falcons play calling. And that was that. The Patriots, suddenly they become the team of destiny. And you know what? We're going to have Alex Sims, diehard Patriots fan, on just about at the 1:30 mark, maybe a little bit afterwards. But she's a diehard Patriots fan, born and raised in Massachusetts. So she's going to help us understand how insane this game was for her. Also go on a rant a little bit later on about why this Super Bowl, it's great. New England deserved to win by the letter of the law, by every single metric. They deserve their comeback from those 20 times that they had less than a 1% chance of winning. But you know what? Overtime rules, once again, come back and bite an unfortunate team that otherwise would have won the game. So anyway, first of all, though, we already got a caller. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-WKR. Share your thoughts about the Super Bowl, where this ranks in the greatest of all time discussion, where this ranks in the commercial ranks, where this ranks for Lady Gaga's halftime performance. Anything you want to talk about for the Super Bowl, we've got you covered here at WKR. But first, we've got a caller, one of our favorites on line one. And I'm going to say to him, I'm sorry about New England winning the Super Bowl, Ray, but I know you're happy because you were a winner this weekend as well with your man, Kurt Warner, getting into the Hall of Fame.
Well, it started off Saturday at noon with the big Buckeye victory over the Bullies.
Yeah.
Then a great, great night where Kurt Warner got in the Hall of Fame. And then I thought it was going to be topped off. The Atlanta Falcons choked that game away. You can say all you want to. You get the ball on the 23-yard line. You only run the ball five times in the last 18 minutes of the game, and you're throwing the ball, getting sacked, getting out of field goal range.
It's true. It's true. The play call certainly was questionable, but Ray, you got to give some credit too to, I know Kurt Warner's great, but Tom Brady did not set a foot out of line after starting three for me.
466 yards. He broke my buddy's record. He had the top three. Now he's only got the top, the second and third best now after what Brady did.
Kurt Warner,
he played a great game, but my goodness. Some of the play calling by that coach down the stretch.
Dan Quinn, yeah.
The last 3 minutes is your ally, the clock. Instead, they use it as an enemy by throwing the ball and taking sacks and crap.
Well, and what I'll say in defense of Dan Quinn, and I'm one of the few, I respected him for not solely relying on the clock. Don't forget, the Patriots, with still 2.5 minutes left, 2 minutes left in that game, they had all three timeouts. So even the Atlanta Falcons, if they will have tried to burn the clock with the running game, that wasn't half as dangerous throughout as their passing game was. The thing is, you can't afford to be one-dimensional. You have to analyze each play situationally, and that's not what they did. They threw it blindly downfield sometimes, and the problem was, too, they didn't have quick developing route. All of theirs were somewhere downfield, and it worked because of the grace and glory of Matt Ryan and because of Julio Jones being the receiver that he is. But the thing is, you can't rely on that solely. You've got to go to your running back, Devontae Freeman, who had quite a good game.
I know. I watched it. I mean, I dominated him for three quarters and blew it. Hey, did you and your buddy ever call down there about Kurt Warner? I bet you didn't, did you?
No, we did, actually. So we'd like to claim credit. Yeah, we called down Joel Hornigan's secretary. We called down, right, and we'll claim some of the credit for him getting in.
Did you talk to her?
Yeah, left a voicemail. Left a voicemail.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot. Hey, they're going to have a special Thursday night on NFL Network about the seven inductees. And you won't believe the story that Kurt Warner said Sunday morning before I went to church. You got time to listen to it for a second?
Just a minute, Ray. Just a minute.
Okay, Davis, the one that waited 14 years, the running back.
Terrell Davis, yep.
Kurt Warner, they almost run into, their cars run into each other. They were supposed to be up in their rooms at 3:30 to 5:30 in case somebody knocked on the door. You know that David Baker?
Mm-hmm.
The videotapes the thing?
Yep.
And Davis looked down. He said, what's this guy blocking me in for? Well, they were both trying to get up to the hotel room. So the guy that out there, the thing, said, go ahead, I'll park your cars. So they ran up to their rooms, and he got knocked on the door. That David Baker, Warner, was saying, you know, he was the manager of the arena football when Kurt Warner played football, trying to get in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And he knocked on his door to induct him into the Hall of Fame. What are the chances of that, sir?
Yeah. That's an amazing story for sure.
We're going to have. And none. I'm telling you, God was in on that guy. he was a manager of the arena football that Warner played. Warner ends up getting the knock on the door from David Baker to introduce him into the Hall of Fame and Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I'll tell you, Ray, we'll have some good stories about this Hall of Fame class for years
okay,
to come.
Thursday
Thanks
night
for calling.
At 8 o'clock, if you guys want to watch it.
We will, definitely. Thanks for calling, Ray.
God bless you, buddy.
Yep. Anyway, that's about wraps it up for the first segment here. Plenty more Super Bowl conversation on the way, though. Thanks for Ray for calling in. Ray from Indiana, always one of our favorites. But out of the break, we'll have Alex Sims, WLNS reporter here locally at Channel 6. And she's a diehard New England Patriots fan. She'll give a brief overview of how emotionally charged that situation was for her. And we've got a special song out of the break, too. You're listening to WKR AM 870.
To intercept you. Gronk is out and that's an issue. Okay. Hey. The offense, it was nice this weekend. And I know we can win it all again. I know you missed four stars. Prove that you're greedy, not a broke down star. Ain't four rings, no flaws. Still in hooking pretty model Giselle's bra. And I chant time. Yeah, I chant time. So Brady, pull me closer to more Super Bowl exposure. Raise that MVP award while you're hoisted on our shoulders. Throw that pass that beats the corner off that pump fake that you sold to your teammate Amendola. TD Edelman, it's over.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. My name's Isaac Constance, regular engineer and co-host, filling in for Al Martin, who's out in Arizona. I know he wishes he could be with you today of all days, but I really feel privileged that y'all have let me host the show today, and it's been a fun one so far. We've talked about the Super Bowl, amazing comeback, 25 points from the New England Patriots. We've covered that extensively. So many all-timers and all-time discussions in that list. You've got not halftime performance. Although, I've got to admit, I liked Lady Gaga. So I think the point of a Super Bowl halftime performance is for it to be outrageous, totally off the mark in some ways, off the cuff, and it shouldn't be anything too normal. It should just be entirely absurd in every single aspect. And that's what Lady Gaga's was. She captivated me and the American public. I really liked her. I thought the commercial started off strong. Thought they declined over time. GoDaddy actually had one where you could recognize what the company was for once. That was funny. But the thing is, the Super Bowl itself did not need any frills, didn't need any throw-ins. It just needed one catch-in by Julian Edelman. It needed a couple of run-ins by James White. And it needed a couple of throw-ins by Tom Brady. I mean, that game was all about the New England Patriots coming back. And like I said, the Atlanta Falcons, I commend them for a great effort, a great runner-up type feel. But, you know, they lost. I'm sorry. I mean, but that's just the way it goes. And it partially was their fault. But you were also facing arguably the greatest coach of all time and arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. And I'd make that argument for both. And, you know, inarguably, definitely the greatest coach-quarterback tandem of all time, and I think five Super Bowl wins. I think that speaks pretty loudly. Right now, we've got Alex Sims, WLNS sports reporter, Massachusetts native, and diehard Patriots fan. Alex, what was going through your head when the Patriots came back?
Oh, my God. First of all, I feel like I'm still dreaming right now. I woke up this morning, and I'm like, is this really happening? Like, did this really happen? I think I'm still in shock. I think I still need to pinch myself because it doesn't seem real right now. What was going through my mind? Well, when they were down by 25 points, I, of course, still had faith. I mean, it's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I never lost hope, not for a single second. And then when they came back, the second half, still not showing a lot of hope there in the third. And then towards the end there, I said, you know what? They might just do it. And it happened. I just still can't believe it. I'm in shock right now.
Yeah, last week we actually had you on to preface the Super Bowl. And you were telling us about this dude who we had heard of but didn't know anything about named Chris Hogan. He wasn't too big of a presence in the Super Bowl. Had a couple of nice points, but now it's time for you again to give us the overview. James White. Tell me about that kid.
Yeah, you know what? And it was, and like you said, like it was such a weird game to watch, especially as a fan. The first half, like it was just very, very weird to see, like, you know, drops by Edelman. Like, Edelman never drops the ball.
Yeah.
Very rarely. But it was just really, really weird. And Chris Hogan really didn't have a big game either. But, you know, James White, I mean, and it's funny that you say that because I was just watching a few minutes ago when Tom Brady got handed the MVP trophy, and Tom Brady went up to the podium and said, you know, I don't deserve this. James White does. And that just goes to show what a class act he is. But yeah, James White was the clutch guy last night. And that's just the Patriots team right there. I mean, you never know what guy's going to step up to the plate.
Do you agree with that? Do you agree that James White was maybe more deserving of the MVP than Brady or no?
I mean, I think it's a toss up there. I mean, I think I just don't know any other quarterback in the NFL that could carry his team from a 25-point deficit and win the Super Bowl in that type of hostile environment. But then again, too, James White, like you couldn't have done it without him either. I mean, he made some really clutch plays towards the end of the game that if he didn't do that, they wouldn't have won the game. So it's really up there. I mean, both guys are very deserving of it. Tom Brady, I'm glad that he got it, but James White would have been a great pick as well.
Definitely. Does this feel like redemption at all? I don't want to say it's been a while since New England's won a championship because this is New England we're talking about. 6 years for them are, you know, that's a wow. But for the rest of the world, we're dealing with Lions fans right here. But does it feel like redemption whatsoever? Roger Goodell handing the trophy over to Tom Brady, all of that culminating into one final Super Bowl win?
I think for a lot of fans, I think for a lot of Boston Patriots fans, I think they wanted this as redemption. I think as for Tom Brady, I think he secretly did as well, but you're not going to hear that from him. He's just going to show the world what a class act he is. But I think secretly in the back of his mind, he's saying, you know what, Goodell, I just showed you that suspend me for four games, and then I'm gonna win a Super Bowl and get my fifth ring. So, I mean, I think fans cared more about it than Tom Brady, but it definitely was redemption for us, for sure.
Definitely. What's New England like right now? Do you have any idea? Were you FaceTiming your family back home?
Oh, my God. I was, yeah. The minute, they got that touchdown at the end in overtime, I got five different phone calls, one from my brother all the way in L.A. who actually works for the NFL Network, who is actually going through raw footage right now of the Super Bowl, and he told me last night, he's like, Al, there was no way that I was going into work if I had to deal with a loss. Like, that would have been torture. My parents were still in shock. My other brother, who's in medical school in the Caribbean, he couldn't believe it. They're all trying to find ways to get back to the parade tomorrow. This parade is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. What time?
I believe 12. I don't know. It usually is around 12.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I think it differs every year. But I remember getting there. I went to like a bunch of parades. But I would get there at like 8 a.m. just to get like a good spot on the street. But
yeah,
I'm not sure exactly what time. But I think it's going to be airing around 12 o'clock. But yeah, everyone's trying to find a way to get back to the parade tomorrow, but unfortunately I have to work, so I'm not going to be there, but I'll definitely be watching it for sure on my phone.
Definitely. We're currently chatting with Alex Sims, WLNS Channel 6 reporter here in Lansing, and local Boston native, actually. But Alex, I want to go through the course of this game as well. It started off so bleak, so dismal for the Patriots. What did the Falcons do right, or what did the Patriots do wrong?
Well, they put a lot of pressure on Brady, and I think that alone kind of shook him up a little bit. I mean, Brady didn't have a lot of time to throw the ball. He didn't have a lot of time to see, what guys were open and whatnot, and I think that was kind of the plan going in for the Falcons' defense, is just put a lot of pressure on Brady, which is what they did. And there was, like I saw in the first half, like there was a lot of underthrown balls from Brady, which is very, very rare to see. Like it was a very, very weird first half. Something that was so, like, not Patriot-like. And mm-hmm. I hate to say it because, as a fan, like, I hate to sound like such a fan right now, but I am. But, you watch a Patriots game and they're just so on target, especially Brady, all the time. Like, his throws are always usually so perfect. But yeah, I think that the goal going in for Falcons D was literally to put pressure on Brady, and they did that, and they succeeded for the first half at least.
Yeah, there were two targets towards Julian Edelman where Brady just overthrew it inches. Grazed the fingertips of Edelman both times, one on a crossing route through the middle, wound up on the right side of the field. The other, he streaked down the left side, and he had to dive out just a little bit too short. But I was thinking, these are decent throws, but we're criticizing Tom Brady for this just because it's Tom Brady. We expect so much out of him. Sorry, go ahead.
No, and I was just in my, and as much as like the first half, how like horribly the first half went for Patriots fans, I was listening to the press conferences today, and so many reporters were asking Bill Belichick, how perfect, like how accurate is Tom Brady for the majority of the time? So you really can't complain about the first half as much, because I think we're just so spoiled as fans, really.
We definitely are.
Just because he really is such a GOAT.
He is the GOAT.
But I know you mentioned earlier about like a bunch of overthrown passes, but you got to mention the one where he threw it to Edelman and it like hit off one of the Falcons' foot, and Edelman ended up catching it somehow.
Uh-huh.
I keep watching that catch over and over again. I'm sure you have too.
That
was such a turning point in the game, I thought.
It was. 23 yards, but boy, hell of a lot more than that in terms of momentum. Momentum, obviously that, as well as a few other plays by Brady, that sparked the change in that game. When did you notice the tide starting to turn, and I mean, what allowed the Patriots to just ride it all the way in?
I think, I was listening to, Tom and Bill, and they were saying how they never got down themselves. Like, they went into the locker room during the half, and they were all so positive. They all had faith. They all could do this. And I think it was just teamwork and effort coming out in the second half, really making sure their defense was right on target, putting pressure on the Falcons' offense, getting Matt Ryan all shooken up, and I think when it comes down to it, Tom Brady has been through this.
Mm-hmm.
He's been through this process. He knows what it's like. He knows what to do under pressure. It doesn't faze him. Matty Ice, on the other hand, hasn't.
Yeah,
this was a new stage for him, and I think that when it gets, you don't really know how a quarterback can handle pressure until they're actually there. And I think he really just froze in that instance. I mean, I think the whole Falcons team did. I mean, the Patriots came back from 25 points down. I mean, not too many teams could do that.
No, I couldn't name another one, and I couldn't name another quarterback. I want to read off some dates right now. 2002, 2004, 2005, 2015, 2017. Those are the years that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have managed to capture the always so coveted Super Bowl ring. And, you know, it seems to come in times of threes almost. Is there any chance? I want to look ahead, but how amazing is it that Tom Brady is still doing it? And it seems like he can do it for another year, make it another time of three Super Bowls in 4 year spans.
Oh, yeah. I think he still has another 3 to 5 years in him. And I think, and he's no way saying that he's retiring. I mean, this would be a pretty sweet way to end, you know? I mean, I definitely, a lot of people are saying this is like the most perfect ending to his career, but yeah. No. He's 39 years old. He's got at least 5 more years in him. There's no talks of him even considering retirement at this point, at least from his perspective. Bill Belichick also talked about it a little bit, too. There's no chance he's retiring anytime soon. So, I mean, I'm fine with another couple of rings in the next few years.
Yeah. I'm not laughing at the idea that this guy can play another 5 years either. I'm laughing at the fact that most likely will happen, and he can do it at the pinnacle of professional football, just like anybody else would envy him for. I mean, there's no other quarterbacks in the league who could have orchestrated that comeback like Brady. He's 39. He did it,
I know,
escaping the pocket. Yeah,
he's 39 years old. I know, and he even said in the press conference today, you know, when he goes out there to practice on Wednesdays before games, like, his arm feels better than ever. He's like, you know, usually at this stage of the game, when you're 39 years old, your arm cramps up, it starts to hurt. He's like, I feel better than I've ever felt.
Unbelievable.
And I'm like, wow, you just made me feel like I need to go out and work out or something. Because you're 39 years old, and you're throwing like you're back and playing at Michigan.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. It really is. And it's just, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, I feel like, are the best combination in the history of NFL.
Last couple of questions for you, Alex, but what plays will you remember from the Super Bowl win? For me, it'll definitely be the Dante Hightower strip sack, actually the Brady escape and 15-yard rush. I thought that was momentous. And then, of course, the Julian Edelman bobbled catch that seemingly ricocheted across the whole entire stadium.
You know, I think that was the moment I looked at the TV and I said, we can do this. When Edelman bobbled that ball, it bounced off a Falcon's foot. He ended up catching it. I don't know how he did, but I think that really, really changed the momentum in the game. And I looked at the TV after they ruled it a catch, and I said, we got this.
Yeah.
And then I think when they tied it up after the two-point conversion, and then they finally went into overtime, got the coin toss, got possession of the ball first, you know, right at the start of overtime. And right from there on out, I knew when they had the ball going into overtime, I'm like, they're locking this thing up. And it's funny that I say that because actually I was listening to Patriots players after the game. And they're like, we knew that TB12 was going to finish the job when we got the ball at the start of overtime. And I think that just kind of sealed the deal right there.
Final question for you, Alex.
Okay.
Where is the legacy right now of TB12, Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick? Are those two the greatest ever in their respective fields?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think not just because they've won 5 Super Bowls, but I even tweeted this last night. Tom Brady won the Super Bowl with a lacrosse player, a rookie, an undrafted free agent, and a college quarterback as his receiver.
Yeah.
What team in the NFL, what coach in the NFL can get a bunch of players like that and win a Super Bowl? I mean, and that just goes to show how good this combo is, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, Bill Belichick makes things happen. He takes players, like I said to Al the last time I was on your show, that, you know, he makes players into these stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. That's what good coaches do. They find the best in these players and make them into something great.
James White, certainly not a big name beforehand. 8 yards total in the game against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
People will remember that name now, I think. Alex, thanks so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Go Patriots.
Yeah, congratulations. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Every day I will.
Just had a conversation with Alex Sims, reporter for WLNS in the area here, and diehard Patriots fan. Boy, I kind of envy that high that she's riding right now, I'll tell you that. But we're going to hit our second break of the show right now, coming right after. I'll have a quick rant about what I think was a little bit unfair about the Super Bowl. And you know what? We're going to hit weekend winners, too, to remind you. What was the best of the weekend? It's not just Super Bowl talk. You're listening to WKAR AM 870. White noise in the background, folks. Those are boos. All boos for Roger Goodell. Probably the sorriest man in the building last night. Yeah, I'd even be jealous of him, or I wouldn't be jealous of him if I was Matt Ryan. He had to hand over the Lombardi Trophy to Tom Brady after, boy, I don't even want to say it. The year and a half long fiasco that is the D word, Deflategate. You know that? Yeah. So, anyway, Roger Goodell had to make amends, had to pay up to Tom Brady a little bit, give him his fifth ring, his fifth Lombardi trophy, and had to have a separate press conference with him for the MVP trophy. So, poor Roger Goodell on that day. Real quick, I am getting some news right now, courtesy of Drew Henderson, our engineer, filling in, and that's that Michigan State senior guard Tori Jankowska has been added to the Wade watch list by Women's Basketball Coaches Association on Monday. She's one of 35 student athletes named to that list. That, of course, being the most prestigious award, the equivalent of the Naismith for women's college basketball. Congrats to Tori. And even if she doesn't win, it's the nomination that counts, right? Yeah. But anyway, still more to talk about in the Super Bowl, and I've just got one more not exactly laudatory praise to throw on. And that's, you know what, I'm going to go at Roger Goodell too, because this rule really messed over the Atlanta Falcons, and it wasn't fair. It went to overtime, and let's face it, the Patriots had all the momentum. They win that game, whether you give the Atlanta Falcons 3 drives to answer, whether you don't give them a chance at all. The Patriots would have won that. I truly believe that that defense was surging. Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung making some big plays in the secondary. And the Patriots were swarming by the end of that game. Rookie Jake Matthews on the left side could not handle the blitz, two crucial holdings. Atlanta was spinning. They were fumbling over that game to New England. But at the same time, they deserved a chance to answer. I don't think they would have. But the Patriots won that game 34-28 in overtime without the chance for a rebuttal, without Atlanta ever getting back onto the field, their offense, without Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, the MVP of the Professional Football League, giving it one last hoorah. Because the thing is, under the NFL rules, the team that loses the coin toss, they only have the chance to answer a score if the prior score is a field goal. If it's a touchdown, it doesn't matter. They lose the game flat out. Now, when this was first introduced to the NFL, it was brought in almost as a security measure because it was better than the one score game over measure that prior existed in the league. But at the same time, it was designed as a transition era, as a phase before a time where both teams would have a chance to answer. So NFL, Roger Goodell,
This is why I'm proposing to you. Cut this out. The Atlanta Falcons just lost the chance at their first ever Super Bowl because only one team could field an offense in that overtime period. It's not that hard. I know you don't want the games to go forever. I know that the Super Bowl lasted 4.5 hours as is. But at the same time, Atlanta, their offense is their calling card. That's what they make their money off of. And for them not even to get a chance to air it out in a situation where there is time on the clock, where they can have a balanced offense to answer the Patriots, that's fine. So my solution would be have the Patriots go down there, force them to kick the extra point as the team that won the coin toss. Give Atlanta the chance to respond, and if they score a touchdown, they have to go for two. That way the game doesn't drag on too long. The team that gets the coin toss still is rewarded, but at the same time, each team has an equal chance, equal footing. That's all I'm asking. I'm sorry, Atlanta. It's not that way. Roger Goodell, once again, should be the most hated man in the NFL. Just a minute left on this edition of WKR's Current Sports. No music for this, but real quick, my weekend winners. Tom Brady, 5 Super Bowls, set a record in pretty much every single statistical category. Brady, as I previously mentioned, was phenomenal last night. Record in attempts, 63. In passing yards, 426. Super Bowl wins for a quarterback. MVPs. Brady just about running the wheels off of the NFL. And no man was it at his more chagrin than Roger Goodell. Sorry about that, Roger. My other weekend winner, James White, $600,000 a year for his contract. It's going to be a heck of a lot more than that, I'll tell you what. Also, Ohio State beating, as Ray calls them, the boys, Michigan men's basketball in a barn burner of a game. That was excellent. Ohio State now 14-10 on the season. Michigan State, Michigan set to take place tomorrow night at 9 p.m. at the Chrysler Center. Michigan reeling with 2 straight losses. And you know what? That about does it for today's show at WKAR's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. I'll also be with you tomorrow. We'll have a little more Super Bowl talk and preview the MSU-Michigan men's basketball game. Thanks for listening.